Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. This week, we're going to be continuing in our Israel and Egypt, and we're going to be in part three. So far, we have talked about how Israel is currently in the land of Egypt, and they are under slavery in Egypt. And so the first week, we talked about how Israel continued to grow and multiplied even while under the hardship and the persecution that they were facing from the king in Egypt at the time under Pharaoh. The second week, we talked about how during this hard time of this hardship and this persecution that was going on, how Moses was born and how basically the one who was going to be bringing them deliverance was born. So that which was for the future, that which was coming ahead, was born during the hardship, the hard times of Israel being in Egypt. And so this week we're going to hear about how God hears the cries of Egypt while he's in the land. So let's look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. Now it happened in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the slavery. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God knew them. So let's pause here. Now let's look at the first thing we see here in verse 23. It's talking about how Israel is under slavery and they are being persecuted by Egypt, and they have cried out because of the hardship that they are under. And God hears their cry. And so I've mentioned this a couple times in this series, that at this moment in time, Israel, this is many generations after Jacob and his family went into the land as 70 people. And they have multiplied to a great multitude. They were a large number of people and have come very strong and very mighty, which is why Pharaoh was afraid of Israel and began put them under hard slavery. Okay? So this generation of the Israelites, we don't seem to see that they know the God of Jacob like Jacob did. And God is going through the process of beginning to reveal himself unto Israel, unto the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the thing we see here is when they cry out, we see that God hears their cry, which is something that is a blessing to us who are in covenant with God. When we are in the hard times, when we are going through the hardships, because we have talked about how we will go through hard times just as Israel was in Egypt. It's during those times, though, that we grow and that we become stronger. It's where we go from one level of glory unto the other, where we are being more transformed into his image. It's that refining fire. And we also, during those times, is where we can see things birth in our life, where new things come forth. Process of the old man dying and the new man becoming stronger and growing and becoming more prevalent in our life and the way we think and the way the things we desire and what we do and how we act. And so we go through these seasons for a purpose and for a reason. But he also hears our cries during this time, and he answers us. Our walk with him isn't always going to be smooth and perfect and comfortable. I'm pretty sure Israel was comfortable in Egypt up until the point that Pharaoh became fearful of them and began to try to put them down and try to destroy them. And that's what he was trying to do, was trying to weaken them. But instead of weakening them, they just became stronger. So God hears our prayers. God hears our cries. And he is there to answer us. And it's interesting. He says, God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he hears their cry and he's going to answer their cry because of the covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And remember, the covenant was that Abraham's descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. And so this is the very point where, as God is hearing their cries, that now he is beginning the process of really fully revealing his character and who he is to Israel, and is getting ready to deliver them so that eventually they will go into the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land that was promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's interesting, God saw the sons of Israel and God knew them. He knew them because they were in covenant with him. They were his chosen people that he had selected, so he knew them. And because he remembered his covenant and because he knew them, God answers their prayers. He calls out unto Moses and he begins to use Moses to go before Pharaoh in order for the children of Israel to leave the land of Egypt. Of course, we know that Pharaoh does not let them go. So ultimately, they leave the land on the night of the Passover, the great and last plague, when the firstborn of every family, firstborn son of every family, was killed. But those who had put the blood on the doorposts of their home, the angel of death passed over their home. So now let's look at David. David gives us a nice glimpse of what it's like when God sees where we're at and God hears our voice. Because the same way that God acts and reacts to David is the same way that God acted and was moved when he heard Israel calling out for help, and also how he feels and acts and moves when we call out for help. Let's look at Psalms chapter 18 and verse 4. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of vileness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. So David is describing his situation, as in he says, the cords of death have encompassed me. So he is feeling like he is surrounded by death, that he is about to see the end of his life. He is being tormented, or the torrents of vileness is terrifying him. So he is seeing this vileness that is causing fear to arise inside of him. And so he says, in my distress. So when I was in this place, when I was in this very dark place, I called upon Yahweh and I cried to God for help. And what does David say? He says, he heard my voice out of his temple. He says, Yahweh heard his voice in his temple in the heavenlies. It's the same for us. When we cry out for him, he hears us in his temple in the heavenlies. The book of Revelation lays out a beautiful picture of this. It talks about how the prayers of the saints are like incense. So when we cry out to him, when we lift our voice towards him, it is as incense that is rising up to the heavens, and it reaches him at his throne in his temple. He is not too far away to hear our voice. And he says, my cry came before his ears. He heard his cries. And it's interesting. God heard David's cries. God heard Israel's cries. Their cries raised up into his temple as well. And because he heard their cries, it moved him. It caused him to have a certain type of response. So let's look at verse 7. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. So David is telling us that not only did God hear his voice, that not only did God hear his cries, but because God heard his cries, he was angry. And his anger caused the earth to shake and to quake. It says the foundations of the mountains were trembling and shaken. That shows you the power, number one, of God. Number two, it shows you the intensity of his anger. When Israel cried out in Egypt, and God remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this same anger was kindled inside of God as well, which is why ultimately on the last plague that occurred in Egypt, God showed his judgment and his wrath upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh for not allowing Israel to go. So when we think about this, that when we pray, not just pray, but when we cry out unto him, he is moved with this same anger when it comes to his covenant children. Think about it. The God of this universe, the God who created this universe, who created you, who is the judge of this world, gets angry when he sees you being wronged and you crying out for help. When you are in distress and you call out for help, he is moved by your situation. We serve a God who has emotions. He responds in his emotions righteously. And his emotions do move him to act righteously and justly. And David is able to call upon this and is able to get this response because he is walking in covenant with God. And we're going to see that here in a bit. So let's look at verse 17. It says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. So not only was he angry, but his anger moved him to action. So God delivered David from his strong enemy, from those who hated him. And David says that my enemy was too mighty for me. I could not defeat my enemy on my own. The same was with Israel and Egypt. They were unable to get themselves out from underneath the hand of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was showing himself to be stronger than them. Pharaoh hated them. And so he delivered Israel from an enemy who was stronger than them. And he does the same for us. You may feel as if you're in a situation that is too strong for you, but he is mightier than your enemy. He is mightier than the situation that you are in. He will deliver you from your strong enemy. He will deliver you from the situation that you are in that is too mighty for you. We just need to learn how to lift our voice unto him. We just need to learn how to cry out unto him and to trust in him and to believe in him and to believe that he is going to work things out, that he is going to bring deliverance unto us. It was through the night of the Passover and through them going through the Red Sea and watching the Egyptians drown in the Red Sea that God showed himself unto Israel to be their deliverer, to show them that he heard their cry. Moses was the answer to their cry. That is why he was sent. He heard the cries of Israel, and he calls Moses forth, who was birthed during the dark time period, to lead Israel out of Egypt on the night of the Passover. Now let's look at verse 19. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from God. So we see here, David is saying he has rewarded me. He has answered my prayers because of the cleanness of my hands, because of my righteousness, because I have kept his ways. I have not wickedly departed from him or from his law. David is not stating that he is perfect. But what David is saying that he is consistently walking with God. He is consistently walking in obedience to God's word. He is consistently not departing from God's word to do that which is wicked. He is walking in what is the standard of righteousness. God's law is a standard of what is righteous. So for him to say, according to my righteousness, that's meaning that David is saying, I was walking according to that which is righteous. So David was walking in covenant with God. The interesting thing with Israel is we really don't know if they were walking in righteousness with God, but the verse tells us that God remembered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who did walk in God's righteousness, who did keep the ways of Yahweh. They were obedient to the instructions in which God had given them to do. They did not wickedly depart from God's word or his law. And so God remembered their righteousness. He remembered his covenant with them. He remembered that they walked in covenant with him, just as David walked in covenant with God. So because David walked in covenant with God, he had the boldness to be able to cry out and knew that God would respond in his anger over David's situation. And he delivered him because David walked in covenant with him. And Israel is delivered because they were the descendants of three men who walked in covenant with God. And the future promise of the fact that they were to inherit the land promised unto them. And this shows us that God is one who keeps his word. We can hold on to his word and know that if he has said it, then he's going to do it. If he has a promise in scripture, we, as those who are walking in covenant with him, can hold on to that promise. God responds to people who are walking in covenant with him. Our relationship with him is about covenant. His end of the covenant is that he will be our God. And as we read through the book of Exodus, as the story unfolds of Israel coming out of Egypt and through the wilderness, we see God introducing himself unto Israel and unto us. We can see the attributes of him. We can see what it means for him to be our God, how he delivered them, how he fed them, how he gave them water, how he healed them. He provided for them everything they needed. He led them and guided them through the wilderness with a cloud by day and a pillar by night. So those are the things that he will do for us. That is his end of his covenant with us. He will provide for us. He will deliver us. He will heal us. And he will lead us. That is his promise unto us. Our end of the covenant is to love him. It's to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being. That is what we are instructed to do. And as Yeshua said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Our end of the covenant is to walk in obedience to his law, to his Torah, the instructions he has given us, to the best of our ability. And when we are faithful to walk in obedience to the best of our ability, then we can confidently come before him and know that he has delighted in us and that we are in covenant with him. And because we are in covenant with him, he will fulfill his word in our life. He will fulfill his promises in our life. He will be our God. He will deliver us. He will provide for us. He will heal us. He will lead us. That is his promise unto us. So what we can learn from Israel here in Egypt is we can see the faithfulness of God, how many generations after Abraham had died, he still remembers the promise and the covenant that he had with Abraham. And now he is going to fulfill the promise that he made with Abraham. And so we can know that as we are walking in covenant with him, as David says, he has rescued me because he delighted in me. Our God delights in us. He delighted in Israel. They were the apple of his eye. And when the apple of his eye was being put under slavery in Egypt, he heard their cry and he brings an answer, and he's going to deliver them out from underneath the slavery in Egypt. And we are, and you are, the apple of his eye. And when you cry out, he will hear, and he will be moved with the same anger that he was moved with when David cried out, because he delighted in him, and he will move on our behalf, and he will deliver us as well. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.
Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.